The Word of God says that there's a way that seemeth right unto man, and the end thereof is destruction. And so when we begin to go into your heart, to the places that have been walled up with protection, everything in your body is going to say, no, we ain't going in there. Your logical brain, listen to the word logic and intellect. Lodge. That means to lodge something, as in to get stuck.
Uh-huh.
But it also means like a lodge where you can go spend the night. And intellect has the word in it. And that's also a place you can spend the night. And remember, there was no room for Jesus in the inn.
Oh, yeah.
And the Bible even says that spiritual things are not carnally discerned. That means you can't use your intellect to understand it. You can't use your logic. There is no from point A to point B to point C. You literally cannot wrap your brain around something that you cannot see, because the logic needs a form. It needs an image. As a matter of fact, if I say ball, your mind will automatically think of a ball. Now, whether or not you thought of a round ball, basketball, soccer ball, football,
yeah,
that's your mind. But your mind will automatically create an image.
Yeah.
Now, one of the commandments is that we'll make unto thyself no carved image. Now, when it came, the Word of God came as a commandment. But Word comes into the earth to die. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So when Word comes into your heart, it's going to die. It's not going to just live. But we think we can just obey the Word. That's not how words work. Words work just like seed, because they are seed. Now, if the most powerful word ever known to man, which is Jesus, if that word had to come and die, what would make us not understand that every word must die? Okay?
Yeah, yeah.
And Jesus even said to us, if you want, those who find their lives will lose it, but those who lose their lives will find it. And if you want to live, you must die. And if we're made in God's image, guess what you and I were before we manifested flesh? Mm-hmm. Word.
Word.
Okay?
Yeah.
And so the Bible says that, and this is what I taught on Sunday, the Bible says that before the earth was formed, this is in 2 Timothy, God proposed to you. And that's pretty powerful. If you read that whole text, he's literally talking about suffering. He's talking about that. If that, my mind needs to put an image around it, okay? My logical mind. Because this is a spiritual thing that I'm talking about. So since I'm hearing it with my logical mind, I need to put a form around it. That's just the way words are. Seeds have forms around them, don't they?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's the same thing. Now my form is going to fall apart before it brings forth fruit. It's going to explode. It's not going to last. But just for the sake that I have two natures in me, I have the nature of Esau and the nature of Jacob. I have the nature of Leah and the nature of Rachel. I have the nature of dust and the nature of blood. I have them both in me. So we're going to go through the nature of dust. So my mind wants to wrap a image around it. So when I think of God before the earth being formed, proposed to me, I imagine heaven in some kind of way. You know, maybe me and Jesus in the Milky Way somewhere out there in the cosmos.
Yeah.
And him getting down on one knee and saying, Angela, would you marry me? And who would tell the creator of all no? And then he says something like, well, let me make sure that you want to marry me. Let me show you the glory set before us. And so like himself, before time began, he was crucified. He shows me the pathway of what it means to marry him, which means to be rejected, betrayed, falsely accused. By what authority you do this? Betrayal with a kiss and money? Crying out to God and not getting an answer? Being falsely accused before whoever? Being stripped naked? Beaten? Having your identity plucked from you? His hair was plucked from his face. His glory was plucked. Having that taken? Not opening his mouth? Not being able to carry the weight of the cross or the word curse? As we travel up the hill of Golgotha, which means the place of the skull, as we travel under the weight of the curse in our mind, we fall and we fall and we fall and we fall. Why? Because he fell and fell and fell. And then we get nailed to the cross. What does that mean? You're nailed to the curse. Cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree. Remember when Haman had established that Mordecai would hang on the gallows? Mm-hmm. The word Haman means the law. It means tree. It means the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
I read the whole book of Esther yesterday.
Okay.
The whole thing was led.
It's amazing that what's hidden in the scriptures. If you look up Vashti in the Hebrew, it means a vessel of thinking. And the vessel of thinking refused to wear her robes before King Artaxerxes, which was the king of all rule or king of all law. Okay? And so when that, there's a Vashti and an Esther inside of me. There's a Vashti and an Esther inside of you. And the law cannot wear the robes of royalty. She can't do it. She's a vessel, a thinking vessel. The thoughts can't comprehend the things of God. Okay? Esther's name means myrtle or myrrh or bitter weeping. What did they give Jesus at his birth? Myrrh and frankincense. So bitter weeping and the smell of truth, the scent of truth. How do I get that? Frank means to be frank. It means to tell the truth. It means to be sober-minded. It means to look fully in the face of truth. And then scent means to smell. So frankincense means the smell of truth. Well, guess what? Your truth, when we go work in that area, is going to smell. And it's not going to have a pleasant smell. It's going to smell very, very pungent and painful. And the word cut or pierce, which is what happened to him on the cross, means the same word as when a man and a woman consummate. It means to be pierced, to be thrust through. What happened to his side? He was thrust through. What happened to his brow? The thorns pricked into his brow. What happens to his hands and feet? They were nailed and pierced. And so Jesus is saying, okay, will you go into the earth and all these things are going to kill you? What was it that killed us? The law. What law? The very first tree in the garden that we ate from, that God knew we were going to eat from, but he said, if you eat from this, you'll die. Okay, so before time began, Jesus proposed and showed us the sorrow and suffering. He showed us the marriage, which is where two become one. How? He said, if you suffer with me, then you'll reign. So before time began, Jesus proposed to us according to his good pleasure that we might suffer with him. So Paul talked about this. Peter talked about it. Paul prayed that all mysteries would be revealed. And many of the prophets saw mysteries, but then God would seal it up. And it would be sealed up until the last days. Uh-huh. I propose we're in the last days. How do I propose that? Because the mystery of that's being unveiled. And I can't tell you how many times I've read scripture and never saw that.
Yeah.
You have to. Yes. You've read scripture your entire life.
I believe what
and
you're
you have
saying.
Never seen that Jesus proposed to you before time, but it clearly says it. And in Ephesians, it says God foreknew you before time. Now, time is a measurement. A measurement is a judgment. A judgment is a law. So before it was written, God already proposed to us. God already knew us. He even says that we are a written epistle upon our heart with the very finger of God. And so when you and I, in just a few moments, we're going to go into the kingdom of God. Where's the kingdom of God? It's inside of you. Now, I'm going to give you a preface because some of the things I'm going to do, you may or may never have done before. But when I first started doing this, God, you know, I'd ask God questions because God would tell me something to do, but it didn't make sense to my mind. And so God would teach me things that I could understand to unveil things that were hidden that I couldn't understand. And so God would have me, I would have these visions. I'd have a vision of heaven, or I'd have a vision of somebody in the Milky Way, or a vision of this door, or a vision of whatever. And when I would have the visions, I would say, God, is this real? Like, you know, what is this? Why am I having these? Why am I supposed to say this stuff? And he said, Angela, haven't you heard it said that if you commit adultery in your heart, you've already done it? And if you commit murder in your heart, you've already done. I'm like, yes. He said, how much more is it true that if you imagine in your heart that you're in heaven and that you sit next to me and I talk to you, or we sit on a bench, or we sit by the Jordan, or whatever, and I talk to you, and you hear what I say, and you forgive spontaneously, or you have understanding, or whatever happens in that vision, if it happened in your heart, is that not just as real as if you commit murder in your heart? Mm-hmm. And I went, oh my goodness, I never thought about it that way. It was easy for me to see if you sin in your heart, it's real.
Yeah.
But it wasn't easy for me to see if you do something awesome in your heart, it's real. Yeah. So if you marry Jesus in your heart, guess what? It's real. If you become one with him in your imagination, it's real. And Jesus asked us to become one with him. He prayed to the Father that you and I would be one, even as he and the Father are one, that you'd be one with them, and that all of us would be one. The same way that God is one, that Jesus is one with the Holy Spirit and with the Father. That's a pretty profound oneness.
Yeah.
Like you can't get any more one than that. Right? Mm-hmm. So that's what's going to happen to you. We're going to go into your kingdom, which means your heart. And let me explain how we're going to get there. God says he gave me keys to the kingdom. And so I don't ever know how I'm going to get in somebody's heart. But I am going to lay my hands on your feet. I'm going to anoint your head with oil. And I'm going to ask God, how do I get in this kingdom? He promised he would give me the keys. Now, if the door to your heart was already open, I wouldn't need keys.
Right.
Keys are for something that's locked.
Right.
Okay. So when did your heart get locked? Back somewhere in the time between 0 and 6 or 7 years old, you were wounded. Everybody is. There's not a human being that's not wounded. And that heart gets locked up. When it gets locked, it's not an accident. God's protecting you. Why? Because we come into the earth to die. We come into the earth to suffer. That's how we come here. There is a lot of awesome stuff here as well, but we come to the earth to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and to die. That's what we come here for. We come here to marry him. We come here to suffer so that we could reign with him. That's the whole purpose. So God knows that your heart's going to get broken. So he made it so it would get calloused. And that's not an accident. That's not the devil. It's not you. It's the way God created you. It's the way dust works. Don't rain on the dust for a while and it'll crust over. Mm-hmm. Okay? Rain means blessing. So if we don't feel blessed, if we don't feel loved, if we feel rejected, abandoned, and all those painful things, our heart will automatically crust over. It'll build walls. Well, then we live our life with this shut down heart until the day of our awakening. Do not awaken love until it desires. Until the day where the stone of our heart has to be rolled away. Until the day of resurrection. So when the stone of your heart is rolled away, and God's the one who's going to show me how to get there, then your body's going to want to fight that because it likes that protection. It's going to want to wrestle. You might cough, you might gag, you might bite your lip. You might take a big, heavy breath, and I'm just going to coach you and say, it's okay, you can cry. It's a safe place to cry. You can heal if you so desire. And what I mean by saying you can heal, what I'm saying is you can bleed emotionally. Uh-huh. You can cry. It's a safe place. The reason that needs to happen is because the Word of God goes all the way into the marrow, literally, into your bones, into the marrow, where your blood is being formed. And so what happens is when you go into your painful past, that we could even call that a memory or a monument, or we could call it a wonder. I wonder why that happened to me. I wonder why, if God loved me, he let me be born in a situation where I'd suffer this much. That's called a wonder. The Bible says to sin is to miss the mark, to miss the sign, the flag, the token, the wonder, the monument. If we miss the wonder, that is sin. I always thought sin meant lying, cheating, stealing, adultery, blah, blah, yeah. blah. And that is part true. But that's not the revelation of sin. See, in Ephesians chapter 4, it says, when you go past your feelings, you give yourself over to all manner of lasciviousness. If you look up all manner of lasciviousness, that's where you're going to find drunken, revelry, thieving, killing, stealing, whatever. It's in the word lasciviousness, not in the word sin, even though they're part of each other.
Yeah.
Like a carrot has more parts than one. It has the little hairy roots that come off of it. It has the stem and the top part. It has that main tap root, right? But all different parts of the same thing. Well, sin has different parts to it. To miss the mark is sin. Mm-hmm. That's it. So when you miss the wonder how God could love me and let this happen to me, that is what we're going to go back and find the answer to. And so as when I tell you about 2 Timothy that God proposed to you, now you can logically deduce that. You can logically understand it and you go, yeah, that makes sense. I remember that scripture. I believe that. But your cells don't believe it.
Yeah.
You know what your cells believe? They believe what they feel. And people say, well, Ansel, you can't trust what you feel. Let me tell you something. You do. It is a proven fact that we trust what we feel. I could tell you to the cows come home from age 0 to age 99, don't trust what you feel, don't trust what you feel, don't trust what you feel. And guess what you're going to do? You're going to trust what you feel,
exactly.
Regardless. So all the teaching you've heard, you can't trust your emotions, it don't work.
Yeah.
It absolutely won't work for you. So how do we heal that? You heal the brokenhearted. You heal the broken feelings. When you heal the broken feelings, which is what we're going to do, those healings are going to get healed. Those feelings, yeah, those feelings will be completely healed. When they're healed, I can't make you afraid if I try. It's not. It won't be possible, and I'll show it to you.
Wow.
We'll go in. We'll heal those emotions. How are we going to heal them? God showed me how. We're going to speak truth in the midst of your darkness. We're going to speak truth right in the midst of that sin. What sin? Where you've missed the understanding, where you've missed the calculation, where you've wondered and didn't get an answer. Now the word Saul was the first king that was ever set up. And God didn't want to set up a king. All he ever wanted to do from when he took them out, he just wanted to rule them by their heart, but they would not. And he said, well, Samuel said, I'm going to give you a king, but this is what's going to happen. They're going to take your daughters. They're going to rule over you with chariots. They're going to take your land. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. They're going to do the other. God just wants to rule you by your heart. No, we want a king. Well, the word Saul means to ask. And the word Samuel means to hear.
Wow.
And if you go study that, it shows you really what's going to happen to mankind. How mankind wanted a tree, wanted knowledge, wanted something to rule over it other than God. And when that happens, we lost everything. We lost who we are. So whenever you go back into who you are, into the kingdom of God, and you discover, not just logically, but emotionally, that you are one with Christ, your entire being is transformed. It's completely transformed.
Uh-huh.
And then the two become one. What two? The Leah and the Rachel, the Adam, the Eve, the inside, the outside, the Jacob, the Esau. Remember, Jacob wasn't given his new name until he met God at the place called Peniel,
yeah.
Changed the name to the place Bethel. Why? Because he was going to be restored to Esau. That's where he was going. He had already made up his mind that what he had done was trickery,
mm-hmm.
and he wanted to become reconciled to Esau. You have to reconcile your spirit man with your earthly nature. It's got to be reconciled. See, God didn't mess up when he gave you flesh. He made the two become one. What two? Mud and blood. He's the one that made them one.
Mm-hmm.
We've been trying to separate them ever since and get rid of the flesh. It's not what the Word of God is saying. He said, I'll give you a heart of flesh. I'll fill it with my spirit. And you shall walk in my commandments. I'll make the two one. I'll make flesh and spirit one. How? We are a living soul. We don't have a soul. We've been taught that. But that's not accurate. In Genesis, it says, Adam became a living soul. That means one who eats. That means a carnivore. It means one who is empty, who needs something to be given to it. It's the same word as poor. Like, I'm in lack, I am in void, and without God, I am nothing. Without breath, I'm just a shell, okay? So the breath of God that we get is the Spirit. Now that is the Spirit of God. That is Christ himself, our husband. So the two become one. What two? The living soul and the life-giving spirit. It even says Adam was a living soul, and the second Adam was a life-giving spirit. It says it right in Scripture multiple times. And so what's going to happen? We never saw it because it was sealed. We weren't supposed to see it until that day. Why? Because Habakkuk chapter 2 says, in the last days, that the knowledge of the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And you heard me talk about this Sunday, that the one of the meanings for glory means bride. Man, the glory, the knowledge of the bride shall be revealed in the last days. The knowledge of being proposed to before earth was formed is going to be revealed in the last days. Isn't that beautiful? That we are now understanding that God was good all along. We knew it logically, but we never felt it. Why didn't we feel it? Because we've had so much sorrow and suffering. And so what's going to happen, and when I go into your heart, your body might tremble. You're going to breathe funny. It's going to affect every cell in your body. And my job is to simply make it easy for you. The word what you could call me is a facilitator. What does that mean? It means, it's the same word as fascio. It means to make easy. I can't heal you. I can't transform your mind. But I know how God does it. And God will put his words in my mouth. And God will speak. And he said, if you receive my messenger, you receive me. That's what he said. He said, if they don't receive you as the messenger, then they reject me and my Father who sent me. You see? So if we could heal each other, we'd have already done it a long time ago. But we can't heal each other. But God's word heals us all. And if I'm married to him, then my word is his word. How beautiful is that? Let this same mind be in you that was in Christ, that he didn't count it robbery to be equal with God. Well, guess what? I don't count it robbery to be equal with Jesus. Why? Because I've suffered with him. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm reigning with him. And I can put he can put his word in my mouth. I can put my word that he gave me. He said, whatever I have, I'll give it to you. So he gave me his word. He put his word in my mouth. When that word comes out of my mouth, it will transform your emotions. They will literally be healed. And then I'll prove it to you. How will I prove it to you? We'll go back into any of those emotions that were tormenting before. We'll look around. And no matter what you do, you won't be able to make them, you won't be afraid of them at all. Any way, shape, or form. They will not have the same taste, nor the same smell, nor the same feelings. They will be transformed in the twinkling of an eye in an instant. And they will never, ever go back to being what they were before. Why? Because if you take water that has been steeped over coffee grounds, right, and you get black water, and then you put cream and honey into it, and you mix it up, can you just take that cream and honey out? No. It's all mixed together. It's all become one. That's what's going to happen with your bitter past. Your bitter past is going to be commingled with Jesus' bitterness. And when that happens, it's going to become cream and honey. It's going to be milk and honey. Why? Because that's what flows in the land of Canaan. Canaan is the marriage land. Milk and honey are going to flow. And when milk and honey flow, that bitterness will literally be transformed. It will always taste a little bit bitter. Just a little, just like coffee. Coffee, you can taste that little bitterness in it. But like your body needs bile to emulsify fat or cream or love. It's all the same word. Your body needs your bitter past in order to believe that God loves it. You already have knowledge. But the belief that's going to get in your heart is going to be different and deeper all the way to the marrow. It's going to be something that you will be fully persuaded, and it won't just be in your knowledge base. It won't just be in your intellect. It will not just be in your reasoning. It will literally go into your diencephalon or your limbic brain. Guess what another word for limbic is? Right. Limb or branch. Yeah. And Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. And if you go study Zechariah, there's a mystery of the branch being unveiled. The branch means bride. It means the one who has the ovum or the flower. And that, guess what? A branch does have an ovum. It has a flower. And out of that flower comes what? Fruit. Mm-hmm. He said, when you see the leaves of the fig tree begin to blossom, know that the end is near. And I've been asking God for years, what is the fig tree? He said, Angela, what word do you know that starts with fig? I was like, I don't know, figure? He said, yes, that's right, a figure. A figure is when you figure something out, and it's also a form, a figure. When you see the form sprout leaves, know the end is nigh. Guess what we are? We're the form. We're the bride. We're the branch. When the branch all of a sudden begins to have green foliage, life, know that the end is nigh. I propose we're there now.